Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. His return is so sudden. Don't know the day or hour, but I know it's very soon and even imminent. This is a day we really need the fear of the Lord. When people can sin, and I don't like being sin conscious, I'd rather be God conscious. And if there's some sin, God will point it out and you'll repent. But when people fear the Lord, they put away their idolatry. They put away their idol. They put away their sin. They turn from it. See, when we turn to the Lord, now we have the power to turn from sin. Jesus gave us the power to turn from sin. We were in deep trouble. People don't have a revelation sometimes of how much trouble we're in. Sometimes when you share the gospel and you tell people what Jesus has done, they talk about the good that they do and what they don't do. That's not the point. The point is that we were born inside sin. We were born in it. It's in our nature to sin. We were born that way. That's why we must be born again. The new birth, we receive salvation. We receive the ability to live forever and ever and ever. And we won't go into judgment. But when people are in sin, my friend, they won't be able to go. They won't live forever with God. If a person do nothing about the sin nature, the enemy, you'll end up in hell. That's as simple as it gets. And people try all their thoughts and religions and whatever they approve. You may approve it, but the justice of God cannot approve human efforts to go to heaven. It would be wrong. It would be a sin if God let a sinful man into heaven. So we got to be born again. Jesus Christ gave us the ability to do what's right. He washed our sin away. And the Lord looked, because we have faith in him, he accounts us righteous, because we're looking at our Redeemer who washed us in his blood. And he was sinless because he was born of a virgin. Sin is transferred through the male, not the female. And I love that scripture. It says, in Romans, if sin entered the world through one man, hear me good, God also gave us a rescue through one man, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Sin entered the earth through Adam. What he did was on purpose and deliberate. And what Jesus did was on purpose and deliberate. He gave his life to save ours. Not only ours, but everyone in the whole world. And like I tell you all the time, I believe he did it for us individually as well as collectively. Because the word says that he died that we might receive salvation. There was no official guarantee, but the Lord did know. He has a foreknowledge, but every individual had to choose to believe. Everybody that go to heaven, they chose to believe on Jesus. When they heard the word, they responded to the invitation of heaven. And these are things supposed to be taught well in Sunday school. Some churches teach it well, and some churches don't. And there are churches out there that love God. They do it right. And they preach from the heart, they preach from the word, and they tell it like it is. And people don't go to the church because they want to do sin. And they last as long as they have a congregation that loves God, but eventually people die. So other churches are preaching, you can have it your way, like Burger King. And you can't have it, Joe. You got to have it God's way, or you don't have it. at all. Then you got other religions that impose their doctrines on others. And that won't get you anywhere either. You got to look at what does God approve? And even the Lord said it. One day the people in Israel heard the father say, "This is my beloved son, hear him." And his disciples heard what was spoken. And then other people said it thundered. See, if you don't have ears to hear, you're not going to hear what the Father has to say or what the Son has to say. What Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, or I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 2 at the end of it, he said, "We have a more sure word." And that's the written word that was spoken not by the private interpretations of men, but by men that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They spoke by the Holy Ghost. They wrote by the Holy Ghost. And those are the words that you can stand on. You can't stand on somebody that live in a cave and they come out and say, "God said this and that," and God didn't say it. In Israel, if the prophet prophesied something, if it didn't come to pass, he was considered a false prophet. But the problem with these new religions and religions that God didn't start, like the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Mormons and the Jehovah Witness, God has nothing to do with those things. Those are alterations. They took parts of God's word and changed it around and said, "An angel said this and that." You can't do that. That's illegal. God can't recognize, hear me good, and I love people. It's not a matter of whether I love people or not. I'm just telling the truth. And I'll tell you the truth because I love you. And I'm not afraid of you. And I'm not afraid to, you know, I know some people will kill people for saying what I'm saying. I don't care. The point is, if God didn't sanction it, he's not going to sanction it. He's only going to receive his word. People that do his word, those are the ones that you'll see in heaven if you go. And everybody who said it that way, those are the ones you'll see in hell when you go. All the people who started these religions, they went to hell. They're not in heaven. They were never seen in heaven, period. Because they started something and believed it and stuck with the wrong thing. And God didn't. Their doctrine and their beliefs did them no good. Every soul is required to believe on Jesus Christ. And what about the Old Testament saint? Jesus went before he died, everybody who died before Jesus died for us, they went to a paradise called Abraham's bosom. If they lived a life of covenant, if they were honest with their conscience. But those that did wickedly, they went on to the fire. See, some people, even in Israel, they live way out of covenant with God. And they went on to the fire, right then and there. But there were those who were expecting a Savior. They went to Abraham's bosom. And Jesus had to go and preach to them before they could go to heaven. And he did. And they believed on him. And they went. But those that went to the fire, they were wicked people. But now, God requires everybody to repent. His son has died for us. And the Lord knows how to judge the mentally retarded and small children. And people that can't think for them. You know, people that you know, some people have mental challenges. But I promise you this. The justice of God is perfect. And you having a sound mind, you can tell that this love of God, this sincere love of God, that he did something to legally save us, you can judge that that's right. Now, a lot of people want proof. There is no proof without faith. All the proof that God gave us requires your faith. Because if it's not a faith, it's sin. If you don't believe, you will perish. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. And I love the justice of God. He knows what he's doing. And we need to trust him. This is not about pride, prestige, money, and fame. This is about your soul. The Lord has to return. And his return is very soon and imminently. His return is imminent. Now, I'm saying these things at the unction of the Holy Spirit. He loves us, and people need to know how much he loves us. He loves us so much. He loves us just like he loves Jesus. Every soul is very important. But everybody won't choose his ways. Jesus gave us life to live. He gave us the ability to do right so that we could do right. And it's very important that we do. The focus is not on how we act. It's on Christ in our life. The focus was always on Christ in our life. Peter was watching Jesus and walked on water. We can look to Jesus and go to heaven. Or we can look to our own works and our own opinions and what we think is best. Or we can look to the Lord. If we look to the Lord, we have his strength. We have his wisdom. We have his logic. We have his word. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of life. If we learn to do things in his strength, we will do perfect works. Because his blood made us righteous. He made us righteous so that we can live righteous. He didn't make us righteous so we can go back and sin. Jesus did not give us a license to sin like people persuade people to believe. See, when you alter the gospel and cause people to stumble, you got to give an account for those souls that are lost, preachers. You don't want to cause people to stumble with false doctrine. Sometimes I present myself to the Lord and I say, Lord, here I am. What can I do better? How am I doing? I like feedback from the Holy Spirit so he can help me change what's necessary to refine my message. And if you've been listening to me a long time, you know that my testimony, how I learned to follow the Lord, but I didn't know what to do as a preacher, so I didn't know how to do all the things he wanted me to do, so I counted on him. I looked to him. I let him give me messages. And I watched and I learned. And I grew. And I changed. I didn't continue down a negative path. Other ministers, they preach what they liked the most. However they were persuaded, that's how they preached it. Some people stick to seminary narratives or either doctrinal narratives. But when you follow the Holy Spirit, the narratives that are wrong, in other words, the views of men, they mean well, but it's just wrong. It's not quite God's word. It's a twist of God's word. It takes looking to the Lord to preach a refined message. And stay within the life parameters of God's word. When you get out of the life parameters of God's word, you preach in spinoffs, not God's word. You enter into the wide, broad way to destruction instead of that narrow path. If you stay on the narrow path, you're going to end up in heaven and you're going to persuade people to operate in the love of God and they'll go to heaven too. See, the love of God sticks to the word and it stays on the narrow path. The love of God don't go off the narrow path. The love of God don't deviate. The love of God don't sanction what's wrong to save face. or to include people that have deviated. Now, I'm saying all these things. People, they can easily deviate off that narrow path. But Jesus is our high priest, and he will represent our case to the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins so we can repent. Now, repenting is very important to staying on the narrow path. If you deviate somewhere, just repent. Now, when I deviate or do something that, you know, the Holy Spirit brings conviction, it's so that I can repent. I repent, but I ask the Lord questions. I say, Lord, how can I do better? How can I do this the way I should do it? I ask for wisdom and knowledge. See, it's not all on you. You have to look at him. You have to respond to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you'll be fine. You'll stay on the narrow path. The enemy is trying to get people off the narrow path. And some people, they love what they love so much that they persuade others to do whatever it is they're doing, right or wrong, or right and wrong. But as a pastor and as a preacher, as a Christian, you have to stick with what's right. Even if you lose members, friends, family, children, wives, or husbands, whatever, do what's right. Do it God's way. If God said do it the way he said do it. Whatever leaves your life because you followed Christ needs to leave your life. But stick with the plan and purposes of God. Because there are tares among the wheat. Sometimes your family is a tear. One time Jesus' sister and his brother and his mother was wanting him to come, and they wanted to tell him something. And somebody shouted out, Your mother and your brothers want you over there. He said, whoever do the will of God is my brother and my mother and my sister. Jesus was straight to the point. We got to be just as straight to the point. Stay on the love of God, the wisdom of God, the justice of God, the holiness of God stays on the narrow path and will not sin. Now, we're surrounded by sin, but it doesn't have to be in our heart because Jesus washed us in his blood. If we look at him, when Peter looked to Jesus, he walked on water. He saw Jesus standing on water, so he walked on water with Jesus. If you have a visual of who Jesus is, if you study the word of God, you know what he stands for, you know what he said, you learn his character. And then you organize your life according to the knowledge and character of God. That is looking to Christ. If you make decisions, you have to prepare not to do wrong, just like you have to prepare to do right. And the easy way to do it is to love God. See, with the love of God, you don't want to do anybody wrong. The love of God in you is controllable. You can decide to live according to your first love. And the love can, your love for God will grow as you learn his word. You're going to experience his wisdom. You're going to have knowledge. You're going to start trusting God. First, we have faith in God. But see, trust comes from relating to God. Whoever we trust, for whatever reason, it's because of something good happened in the past. Something favorable, something right happened in our past with that person. Whether it's somebody you know, your kinfolks, or your cousins, your brother, your sister, your friends. So you trust them because of the past. And you know the limits of what you can trust people for. Now, learning God's word and dialoguing with the Lord and having conversations with him and studying his word. And when he give you guidance and you're faithful with the guidance, you do it. You're going to have a reference. You're going to have a reason to trust God because it's going to work. And over time, you're going to find out that it was much greater and more necessary than you thought. And you're going to trust him more. Over time, you start trusting. Everybody did it that way. When God first called Moses, he was trying to find excuses not to do it. Lord, I don't speak well. I don't want to go talk to the Pharaoh. I don't speak well. And the Lord gave him Aaron. He said, your brother Aaron speaks well. You're going to speak to Aaron, and Aaron's going to seem like a prophet, and you're going to seem like God. And Pharaoh saw Moses tell stutterly. See, Moses was stuttering. It ain't like the cartoon. Moses was stuttering to get his point across. Then Aaron told the king, told Pharaoh what Moses said. And Pharaoh saw this. And it offended him because a slave was telling him what to do. And then this word came to pass. All of it. Over time, Moses got, he started trusting God more. It was easier for him to trust him as time went on. There were 10 terrible judgments against Egypt. Now, I'm sure Moses was probably nervous at first. But by the 5th or 6th judgment, he was bold. Because he trusted God. And his love was intact. He really wanted Pharaoh to listen. He didn't want Egypt to be all messed up like it was. But see, the way you sow defines the way you reap. They built their country off the back of God's people's back. They built their country off, they enslaved Abraham's children and Jacob and Isaac's children and Jacob's children, which is Israel. They enslaved them. And then in their rebellion, they lost everything. Their country was devastated. Their firstborn children died and their firstborn livestock died. So all these devastating judgments happen, just like it's going to happen now. You understand that when the 6th trumpet blow, a war is going to break out or something, and a third of the population on earth will be dead. Now, this is something that's avoidable because it hadn't happened yet. And the Lord is also about to rapture his people. All these things are brewing. They're about to happen. It's imminent. I don't want any soul lost. I talk about how all the other religions are wrong and they won't go to heaven. I have to. I'm doing my job. I'm doing what God commissioned me to do. Because the same people that would try to kill me for saying these things or be angry with me or talk about me for saying these things, when they die, and they can't go to heaven, they're going to want somebody, they're going to wish they had listened to somebody who told them about the real Jesus. When the same people that's in sin, they turn the radio off when they hear the old preacher talking about Jesus, they're going to wish that they had listened and softened their heart. See, once they go to hell, I can't help them. It's over. Even Jesus can't help them when they go. Because they are not his people. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. A stranger they will not follow. And Satan's trying to change everybody's mind. Not just yours, but mine also. He tries. And he tried. But I won't let him. Because I love him. My lamp is full of oil. I read the word of God. I study the word of God with the intent to do it. And I ask the Lord to help me do his perfect will. Perfect will, not permissive will, perfect will. And I say with my mouth, just like I did for faith, I believe on Jesus Christ that he's my Lord and Savior. I also say that I will follow him. I will do his word. I will do all that's in his heart. I will do what he revealed. And I will love my relationship with God, which I do. But see, if you can say something, you're operating by faith in the strength of the Lord. And you know, faith is a definer. You can define your life the way you want to. If you have trouble losing weight, if you will speak with your mouth by faith that I'm going to lose 50 pounds or whatever you're trying to lose, if you keep saying it, it gets easier to say it, and it'll get easier to act on it. And you're going to find out that you can alter the course of your destiny by your faith, because now you're including God's strength. You can try it out of your mind. You can just try to will it into being. I'm going to do this diet and just keep trying to lose weight. But that's hard to do, and it usually don't work. But when you speak it, see, when you speak the word, and then the Holy Spirit guides you in the truth, you make the right adjustments. If you don't really know how to lose the weight, because a lot of people, that's a goal of many people, something that's common, or gain weight, or whatever you're trying to do, you can say, I receive the wisdom and knowledge to lose weight, and I will lose weight. When you say it and mean it, and you continue to do it, you don't have to focus on it. Just say it in faith, and a change and reality starts forming to what you said. God is going to help you. You're going to do this. If you say, I love God's will and I hate Satan's will, it'll be real in your life. A lot of people, they don't say that. And they struggle. They know they don't supposed to be doing some things, but they like it, and it's hard for them to stop. And then they lose their appetite for the things of God. And they just kind of hope they go to heaven. That's a struggling way to live. That's not the way to do it. Love God and keep His commandments. I will keep His commandments. I will do what He said to do. I love His word. I will repent. And then, you know, when you hear the songs that motivate you to do wrong, turn the channel. Or even better than that, just say, I hate that song because it's persuading me against my God. You know, when I was growing up, I loved family. I came from a good home, and I wanted a good home. And I did not like to see men brag about or cheat on their wife. You know, if I was watching a movie and a man had a wife that trusted him, and then he go fooling with this other woman, I didn't like that. So they made a song called Me and Mrs. Jones. We Got a Thing Going On. I hated that song. And it sounded good to the ear, but the meaning of it, I never liked the song because of the meaning. And the music track was good. It was something to seduce people and dumb people down to do what he was talking about. It came straight out of the pit of hell. But it sounded good. And I knew it sounded good. But I hated it. Because it was trying to rob me from the life I desire. You can't have it both ways. Because I love God, I didn't like the song. And anything that's like that, I hate it. You know, you can determine what you hate just like you can determine what you love. And as you grow stronger, you will hate it. You'll hate the things that's wrong, and you'll love the things that's right. You have options. Just choose the higher ground. Stay on the love of God walks the narrow path with joy. I'm not missing anything because I left the world alone. My life is full. The devil told me that if you get saved, you're going to be bored. I haven't been bored yet. Now, I know Christians can be bored, but a miracle happened, and I have not been bored since the last May of 1983. The last week of May 1983. That was the last time I was ever bored. I have not been bored since. And I am fully satisfied with walking with Jesus. I love Him, and I know He loves me. See, I have a reference that I'm on the right track and on the narrow path because I have his peace. The peace of God, you cannot get it from the world. The word peace means somebody's not attacking you in the world. That means your enemies are not fighting you. Nobody's after you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about peace with God. I asked the Lord, what is his definition for peace? He said, fellowship. I can sense his presence. I have peace. I have rest. I'm not looking for something to make up the difference. I'm complete in Jesus Christ. Everything that's good in my life is a bonus. My good marriage is a bonus. My friends and family, they are bonuses. But I'm living from the peace and security that I have in Christ. I have a future. And I know it. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life.